This episode of Code Pen Radio is sponsored by Harvest. That's at getharvest.com, the first ever sponsor of Code Pen Radio. How about that, folks? Pretty cool. I mean, we're running a business over here, you know? That's what this whole podcast is all about. So thanks for Harvest for sponsoring. Again, that's getharvest.com. It's all about tracking, time tracking specifically, but also expense tracking. They do lots of tracking stuff. And what's cool about that is that it gives you this perspective of the business you run. So if you know what your employees are working on, what, how much time they're spending on what, that allows you to then invoice them for that time. It allows you to kind of just understand more about your business and also run your business. So pretty darn cool that way. They have Mac apps, iOS apps, Android apps, Windows apps. They have apps. So this time tracking, all this tracking stuff they do can be done from anywhere that makes sense to you, makes sense to your business. Not everybody on their team has to use the same apps. You know, it's all linked up together because it's a web app and that's kind of the home for it. So pretty darn cool. One click time entry, they call it.
1, 3, 2, 9, 7. Today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Code Pen Radio. This is episode, 49, I think. We're getting close to 50. A bunch of old men over here.
That's big.
We have some kind of big-ish news that we've been kind of working on for a while. So we're going to call this episode Funding.
Whoa.
Oh.
With a capital fun.
Yeah. In fact, our Slack channel for this is Funding. Which is cool to talk to all the relevant people involved. So perhaps you remember back in episode 12, back when we were just babies, we talked about VC because it's not the first time that we've talked to other people out there in the world about having some money come into CodePen and then using that money to do stuff. But we, in episode 12, we literally talked to actual VCs, venture capitalists, whose job on earth it is to take money, put them into companies and try to extract more money out of it. A very risky endeavor, that has a lot of loaded meaning in the world of startups. It's like a hotly talked about thing. Lots of people have opinions about it. We had some opinions about it. We ended up kind of, I guess, not going that route because we are doing a funding round. The funding round is not yet closed, but it is close to being closed. And the people that we're doing it with aren't exactly VCs. I mean, maybe they are now.
They're angels now, I guess, is
what
you...
angels. So yeah. We're at the point where we're not... It's our first round of funding, but it's not like one of those super duper low rounds of funding, but it's still one of the first rounds, and I guess it's referred to as angel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, series seed is another way to put it.
Series seed is another alternate way to say that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like seed round.
A seed round, yeah.
Notice maybe how we're talking more, it sounds a little different, or we're talking a little bit more fluidly or something. It's because we're all sitting right next to each other, which is one of these rare episodes we get to do this. We're out in at Tim's in Bend, Oregon.
It's nice here.
Yeah, we are just doing some outside stuff, and we're in the Droppler offices. That's where Tim works, so shout out to Droppler. They're doing some cool stuff, and the cool stuff yet to come. I wish we could do spoilers for them, but I think we'll probably let them handle their own marketing.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a kind of a beautiful office here that makes me jealous. I wish we had a headquarters like this. Maybe we will someday, but probably not. Mwah, mwah. Anyway, we not to delay this too long, we're talking about the fact that CodePen is taking some money. But I should say, if I'm, you know, I'm sitting right next to Alex Vasquez.
Hey there,
Tim Savitt.
Hey, I'm Tim.
Yeah, and with our powers combined, we have raised $1 million.
Ta-da!
That sounds like vast riches. I think the first thing we're going to do is get a kiddie pool full of nickels.
And just swim around in it.
Yeah.
Scrooge McDuck style.
Yeah. So the deal is we've raised this money, and it came about because we are all together. Again, apparently good things happen when we get all together, and we are with a friend of ours. We happen to be down in, we were in South Carolina somewhere. Mm-hmm. We were doing a CodePen meetup.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, at Converge SE. And sometimes some of our buddies come along with us because why not? That's always a fun thing to do. We rent an Airbnb. We work together. We get work done and have meetups and stuff. And We have a friend named Chris Campbell. He came with us and joined us on this little Airbnb trip. And he was his idea. He brought up, he's like, hey, what if I fund you guys? All right, was it as simple as that, Tim? I think you got the...
We were talking about the concept of funding and what that meant. And we were drinking at the time, and he basically was like, I'd bet $1 million on you guys. And we were all like, yeah, betting's good and stuff. And it really didn't... we really didn't solidify that until the next morning of our coffee. I'm like, hey, remember when you said you would bet on us? what if we took you up on that? Like, do you really mean that? And it's funny because we nailed down generally the terms of the deal in like 5 minutes over a cup of coffee. And we're going to spend hours and hours, 20, 30, 40 hours with lawyers. And really we're going to draw up exactly what was talked about over coffee.
Pretty cool. So that's how it started. It was just a friend. He's quite literally a friend. He's one of the original founders of WooFoo, where we all work from, and we end up talking about a lot because it kind of was influential to our lives and careers. But as a founder, Chris made a little bit more money on the WooFoo than we did. And then he went to SurveyMonkey and spent time there, and good things happen at SurveyMonkey because that place is just made of golden coins. Mm. So anyway, Chris is, whatever. He doesn't have a helicopter, but he has enough money to make investments like this and is doing it. Now, the founders, there was another founder of Ryan Campbell, literally his brother, who decided to get in on the fun too, because we're all friends and why not, just get him involved as well. So that's happening. And then literally Tim's brother is in on the round too. And they're all kind of have different chunks of the pie here, but with their dollars combined, it ends up being $1 million, right?
Yeah. We needed Chris, my brother, in there because we needed another Chris involved here. So it could be even more confusing. So we have Chris Campbell, Chris Sabat, and Chris Coyer.
Yeah. So Chris Sabat's fortunes comes from, if you didn't know this, he's literally like Vegeta and stuff. He's the voice of them from Dragon Ball Z. So if there's any fans out there, no wonder. Might as well put that Dragon Ball Z bucks to work. And even back in episode 12, when we were talking to VCs and we were talking internally about what kind of money would mean something to CodePen, we were talking about $1 million even then or more, because we're just not at a round where a $12,000 inject would do anything to CodePen.
Not
it would
really.
Just sit there. We couldn't do anything. You can't hire someone with that little money. You can, we could buy some new computers and monitors and call it a day. That's not going to make any impact on CodePen, the business. What would is if we could hire like a number of people and have the stability to hire those number of people for a number of years. That's, we think, is going to make an impact on CodePen. And that's the kind of money you need in order to do that. So
right.
We either want $1 million or plus or nothing.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years ago when we talked with VCs, it was $2 million is what we needed. But since then, CodePen's kind of grown up. And it's, pulled itself up by its bootstraps, and it's making money on its own. So now the projections are kind of a little bit, we need less to achieve the same thing because, we went through the pain, I guess, or survived it. And so now we need a little bit less money, and we can give away a little bit less of the company.
That's the other part of this thing, right, is it's $1 million for what? What do these people get out of this? And they get... 10%. That was what we ironed out really quickly. We just decided that that's about what that would be worth. It's kind of a dance of what we are willing to give up and what they think is kind of worth it. And if we said 1%, they would have laughed at us. Mm-hmm. If they told us 50%, we would have laughed at them. So it's kind of like somewhere in between that, based on kind of, it's not like we pulled a number out of a hat, right?
No, I mean, it's not even based on greed either. Like there's a part of this that we need to hold back a little bit, because if there's another round involved, which we don't actually plan on doing necessarily, but you've got to basically preserve as much of this company for yourself as you can, because as you move down the road, if we find out that pouring money in one end of the tube creates a lot of money coming out of the other end of the tube, then maybe more VC is the direction we should go in. But in order to do that, every time you take an injection of money,
you have to have company to sell the new round of VCs.
Right.
Like Tim said, we may or may not do that. We're probably leaning towards no right now, but who knows what life has in store and the business has in store for CodePen.
You just don't know, so don't close any doors too early. That would be like poison to a VC, right? They do not want to hear, I don't know if we're very interested in the next round.
Right, like, yeah. To them, it's like you want to just keep on moving down the road. For one, that provides liquidity for them because that, like, the next round, if they don't see the returns that they want, or, you know, if they need to use that capital elsewhere, they can get out in the next round. If you tell a VC, we don't plan on taking another round, they'd like see that as just sunk cost, or like there's
like,
no end in sight.
You get the, isn't there like some term for like the brush off they give you? It's like very positive, but what they're saying is, please don't call me again.
I hadn't heard that.
There's a term around, talk to me when you're going to raise an A round. And a lot of our industry is built, if you're taking a seed round, seed rounds are a bridge to an A round. An A round is where you end up selling a larger portion of your company, raising $10 million.
You're asking for more money, but the success is a little more assured.
It's a little less risky on their side, but a lot of the VCs are just, they're built to get you into the A round.
So we're not doing that. We're working with so we can call this literally a friends and family round, although friends and family rounds are usually like, I need to borrow much smaller, and I need to borrow some money from my wealthy uncle because I have this idea that I can't do otherwise. Mm. I need this to buy a barn because I'm going to put the chickens in the barn, and the chickens are going to become chicken tenders, and I'll make some money.
They're gonna be, in our case, they'd be digital chickens, but you get what we're saying.
it's a friends and family round, but it's not dependent on it. If this were to absolutely fall through, which it's probably not going to, but the ink is not dry on any of this
stuff. I hope it doesn't fall through. We've spent too much time with lawyers and CPAs for this to fall through. Please, no.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about those things in future episodes, like kind of, you know, walk you through how this is all kind of going down, because it's interesting and there's stuff. So those will be lawyery stuff and business rejiggering will be at future episodes, but we're just kind of wetting your tongue at this point. So 10% is the deal, right? And then what kind of is 10%? Maybe we don't need to get too into it, but 10% is like of shares?
Yeah, essentially when you create a company, there's like an articles of incorporation. And you give out some crazy number of shares, like 10 million shares. And if that's the case, then they get 1 million shares. So that's what they get for their money. And then there are a couple riders that are attached to that. One called a liquidity preference, basically meaning they're preferred stockholders. So in the case of the sale of a company, they get paid first. So if we sold the company, they gave us $1 million. And if we sold the company for $1,001,000, they'd get $1 million and we get $1 to split between the three of us.
Yeah, so it's less risky for them, which is a nice claw. And we don't mind that because that would be a pretty sad day if we, you know, sold for that little at that point. Not that we're like necessarily even looking for a sale. That's another cool reason to be working with these cool people and not VCs, is because these people, in fact, don't care at all about, they care about our direction and stuff, but they don't have their fingers in code pen like a VC would. In fact, they want less to do with us than even we want, in a sense. I think those were some early conversations where they're like, I don't care what you do.
But we were like, Chris, you've been through this before.
I know, we want your help.
Job. Please, give us your advice.
We want to be more accountable as well towards decision-making and stuff. So we have to explain ourselves to somebody, even if they don't want to be explained to. It's like, too bad we're going to explain ourselves to you. So that ends up being 30, 30, 30, 10 for them. But then like not like as far as ownership of the company, but then there's another chunk that we're probably, and maybe we'll talk about this in a future episode, that we're going to set aside shares wide for the people that we hire. Because again, the whole point of taking this money is hiring. I guess feel free to send us your applications and stuff. We're probably not going to be super public right away at first about the people that we hire. We'll probably like have some people in mind and are going to kind of keep it internal at first. And then if we aren't having as much luck with that, we'll probably, put the nets out and catch some people that way. But if you're a fan of the show, that probably gives you a slight edge up on the next guy or
sure,
next gal. Cool. So we'll not talk about that right now, because we'll talk about that percentage stuff in a future show. But that stuff gets a little complicated. Now, did when we had coffee with Chris Campbell, did he say, absolutely, yes, here's the money, let me get my checkbook? No, it was more complicated than that. We had to also kind of open our books a little bit. And that required some work by Alex and Dee. And
yeah, so one of the things that we had to do is we kind of had to explain what we're going to do with this money, what the projection of the company is, where we're going financially, essentially, right? Even though they care about the direction of the product itself, you when you're taking money, you kind of have to prove what you project you're going to do with that money and how much money you think you're going to make in the future. And I'm lucky enough to have a significant other who did that for a living, and she did financial analysis and modeling. So the first thing we did is we put together a financial model for the company. And what the financial model does is it takes the existing history of your revenue and it does a projection based on your expectation on how you think you can grow the company. But it's based on reason. It's based on the historical revenues that you have. So the first thing we did was pull all the data, pull all the customers, look at our churn rate, look at the number of new pro signups that were coming into CodePen, and it took us about 3 to 4 weeks, and we sent that off to Chris Campbell.
It was serious work. So it's funny when you're a 3-person team having that much work dedicated to that thing. It's kind of like we're slowing down a little bit on features because we have to focus on this funding, right? It's a fact that dealing with this stuff makes you slower in other areas. I mean, there's only so many hours in the day, so.
Yeah, so that took Alex out for a month or more getting this stuff together. So, like, yeah, it's a natural slowdown. I guess we're lucky in the sense that, like, we didn't have to pitch this to a bunch of VCs because, like—
Right, we could have lost all of us for months and months while we're out there shaking hands, making meetings, all the ups and downs and stuff. We didn't have that. And, in fact, we probably could have got them to say yes, like, with more simpler financial models. But it's so cool that we did this, is that there's this thing called cohort analysis that's totally complicated and interesting about, like, the people that sign up in this month, how do they, like, fall away and break down over time? That's hard data to get that's not just, like, barfed out by Stripe. You know, it's, like, actually kind of complicated.
It's pretty amazing. The spreadsheet was 15.9 megabytes big, which is, like, that seems huge. Big for a spreadsheet to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not just – it ended up being interesting to us just to know what's happening with CodePen more so than just –
You know what? We'll get D on this podcast too, once or twice at least, to talk about some of this interesting
stuff.
Sure,
she can break it down and explain it in a way that we're not even capable of doing. She's so articulate when it comes to this stuff. But I mean, this spreadsheet to us, not only were we able to pitch to like the angels and say we expect to be making this money, much money in the future, but it also like allows us to tighten our ship. We can look at this thing and say, okay, well, in year two after getting the money, this is where we expect to be. We can base our hiring. We can kind of project our hiring based on, you know, where that money will go.
Yeah, which is interesting, right? We're saying like, we think this part of our app can be worth this much money. So you better be working on that.
Right.
You know, it kind of guides your future in a sense, which I like. Otherwise, we're kind of not rudderless, but like, you know, it'd be cool. This thing, let's do it. And I hope we never lose that entirely because that gives us some of the spirit and culture that we have. But some of the, like, now that we're grown up a little bit here, we kind of have to focus on some things that are business. That doesn't bother me in the least.
Yeah, especially if we're beholden to others. We do have some money that we need to try and return. This can't be just like a pure tech endeavor where we're like, you know, it's cool to work with. You know, I really like queuing or something, you know. But we really should focus on the things that are going to make money and going to make the site better. So,
and that can be fun and interesting too.
It helps influence. If you got two equally good choices, maybe you should go with the one that like has a better chance of returning money to your investor.
And what's kind of interesting, this is if you have a business idea for a, you know, you're going to, I don't know, open your little cheesecake business or something, you know, equally valid business. You go into a bank and you might get a loan for that amount of money. This is not that, you know, perhaps that's obvious to a lot of people. But if you kind of screw up your cheesecake business, your loan will go into default. It can mess up your credit. There's like, the bank wants its money back. This is not just a speculative venture by banks. When you take a loan, you're expected to pay it back. When you get funding, it's less of a big deal. Like, it would be a really bummer for us to lose our friends and family's money here, but we're not beholden to anything. I mean, there is a case in which we just completely screw up and lose our company, but we don't owe anything at the end of that.
Yeah, it's debt. debt financing versus equity financing. We're giving away a piece of the company rather than like promising to pay back a like note.
Yeah, that's the, I guess that's the elegant way to put it, that their equity just turns to zero.
Right.
So, ooh, sorry. That's not going to happen. Don't worry, everybody. But it's just that's the kind of stuff we have to think about. So there's this, how are you going to react, dear listener, dear Code Pen person, dear tech pundit? Usually funding rounds are met with applause and happiness and tweets with sparkles in them and stuff. I hope that's the case because we're pretty excited about it. We've been excited about it for years, this prospect of being able to grow a little faster and do a little bigger, more interesting things with CodePen, because we have an excellent base to do that with. The people that don't feel that way sometimes don't feel that way because they're VC that are giving us the money and they're worried about product direction. They're worried about, you know, growth over, you know, they're worried about the gross things happening to the app. I guess sometimes that happens they're worried about being pushed to a sale event, you know, sell to some big company, cash out, have that company shut the thing down or ruin it in some way.
There's the flip side of that too, though. Some people view VC injection as like proof that your business is doing well, that like someone with some sophistication believes in what you're doing.
Yeah,
that
there's also money behind it so that you're not going to shut down.
That's the thing, stability. Like if you're, you know, if someone decides to base the next 6 months worth of their university teaching on CodePen, we're not going to close down because we don't have the money to continue. You know, like you can look at this and say directly, yes, they've got a pretty nice runway and they're going to keep on trucking with what they're doing.
Do you have a sense of that? Alex, what do you think people are going to, how are they going to react to this? Do you feel more comfortable with apps that clearly have some
yeah,
money?
Yeah, I mean, especially initially on their first round, you know, when I hope that what people expect is for the product to get much better now that we're going to have a lot more help and we're going to be able to take on bigger, meatier projects. That's what I'm hoping for. I hope it doesn't become like, oh, they're just going to try to milk this thing. Because that's, I think part of what our team believes as a whole is that if you make the product better, you'll add a lot more stability to your financials as well. And I hope that's the expectation.
I wonder if we don't have to milk it as bad. I think there's some risk that we would have to milk it if we didn't have some financial freedom now.
Right. You'd always have to go for the dollar play maybe instead of like shoring up or like fixing up or making the product features that already exist better. Like that's one luxury that we would have. We still need to keep our eye on the prize, but like it's kind of nice that we can spend some time honing the parts of the app that we feel are great, but are good, but could be great, for example.
Mm-hmm. We have some time now. I think even if we hire every single person that we've identified that we kind of want to hire positions-wise or project-wise that we want, we still have like years of safety, which right. is kind of great.
Yeah, right? We were talking about at our current growth, we could hire 5 people and stay, we could like reach profitability again in 2 years. So that's like a, you know.
Right. So what Tim is saying there is you hire all these people, but eventually this money runs out and hopefully that the money that you, like if we couldn't hire these people right now without this money because we wouldn't have enough money to pay them, or we'd have to not pay ourselves or something, which we can't really do because we're human beings with expenses and stuff. So like we can't do that right now. We're hoping at the end of like these multiple years when this initial investment runs out that our what we earn every month just pays we're self-operational at that time or better.
Right. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah,
that seems pretty likely. Because that's what we promised. That's what the spreadsheet told us we would.
Yeah, right. Spreadsheets do not lie.
Yeah, that's what all the planning is about.
And if the spreadsheet looks bad, just change some numbers.
Bada boom. Just kidding.
But just kidding, but kind of not, because they're speculative. So there's some kind of like, what do we think this thing could do? Some of the numbers you can't change. Some of the numbers are, this is what we plan to invest in this part of it. And so let's just tweak the dial a little bit and see what kind of growth we could expect from it if we were to sink a bunch of time into it. It's not lying on a spreadsheet. It's a way to project.
Sure, yeah,
thoughts.
They're called assumptions, and like you have to adjust those assumptions. We think we're going to grow by 5, 10, 15, 20. You choose that number, and hopefully it's based on logic, the cohort analysis, for example.
Right, and it basically helps us set our goals. Like now that you've taken money, you have to set like bigger goals than we had before. One of the reasons we've even done this is because we've slowed down, right?
Yes, literally. I mean, we have more technical debt because CodePen does more things. It has more features and thus and has more users. So there's more support. There's more just things we need to think about. There's big projects we're taking on that slow down other things. You may have noticed that the blog doesn't have a new feature every week like it used to. We have a lot of stuff we're working on. I mean, don't be sad. It's not like we're like, we're just sitting around because we just can't. All we can do is support these days. Believe we have plenty of stuff to do, but it's slower. So we want to, I mean, the reason we're taking this money is to hire more people, which we'll talk about in the future, will probably slow us down even more initially.
Initially, yeah. Because
we have to bring people up to speed and stuff. But ultimately will make us faster or at least be able to sustain some level of thing and have some people that are dedicated to certain areas and stuff on CodePen. It should be pretty darn cool. Hopefully.
It's very exciting.
So we don't know that much. Like, we've worked at companies. We've gone through hiring stuff. We've seen this kind of stuff go down. We're not complete dummies in this regard, but this is the first time that we've led the ship. So we expect that we're going to try to do a good job. In fact, we sat around yesterday, had a meeting, like, who are we trying to hire? What are they going to do? What are their roles? What do we expect to pay them? What are the perks of the job? What kind of things can we expect? And all of it is based on, like, let's do the right thing here.
Yeah,
none of the conversations was, how can we underpay these people? How can we make sure they don't get paternity leave? Of course not. They're like, how much can we pay these people? How long can we let them? And it's not like we've got it all nailed down exactly, but every decision we make, we're trying to do good by people.
Yeah, it's just reactionary. Like, we've been in good employment situations, and we've been in bad employment situations. And the question is, how do you do the former, not the latter? You know, how do you build a company that people like working at and feel that they're fairly compensated for? And, you know, how do you set their expectations for the future and all that sort of stuff? It's we're making a stab at this, and we definitely are. We don't have MBAs, and we're not.
No. And we can't compete with Google and stuff. So hopefully we can make it compelling for other reasons.
Yeah.
And, you know, hiring will probably be a whole episode where we can make weird assumptions about stuff that you can laugh at us for. But we're trying to do a good job. So we're right in the middle of having a little bit of experience, but never having run the ship before. So we're gonna go for that. We should also say that this is a big thing for CodePen, and it will probably permeate a lot of shows going forward. In fact, the very next episode, we're going to talk about some of the business stuff and people that we had to deal with along the way for this and kind of where we're at in that round, because it's a little complicated, a little weird, possibly a little interesting. So we're going to do that. So that'll be like funding episode 2. But then all future, you know, there's actually, we have a number of ideas that won't be related to funding at all, but generally episodes will probably be influenced by this happening to CodePen kind of from here on out, just because it just has to be. It just will be a little bit. And so there'll be plenty of techie stuff and classic episodes moving forward too. But just know that this is a big thing that influenced CodePen and thus will influence this show.
Stay tuned.
Yep. And thanks again to Harvest for sponsoring this episode. Time tracking, understanding your business very more. That's getharvest.com. Very, very nice application. Been around a long time. Good. You know, we'd only dream to be as successful as Harvest one day. That would be totally awesome. And of course, by CodePen itself. We pay the bandwidth bills for this, baby. jobs. CodePen.io/jobs. All right. See you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
7 1 3 2 9 7 6 0 3 1 8